The Dave McGillivray Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGillivrayFoundation.org for more information.
B-Pod Studios.
Gasper and Murray have scorching hot takes. Twisting your mind with Pat Celtics and Bays. They'll also talk socks and out-of-town things. Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper
and Murray.
Gasper
and Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday.
And Murray.
Gasper!
And Murray.
Gasper! All righty, from the Town Fair Tire Studio, Gasper Murray, 98.5 The Sports Hub, here with you on a beautiful Saturday morning when it was supposed to be a monsoon today. But hey, shocker, meteorologist wrong again. Morning, Chris. Hi.
Good. You can't defame meteorologists like that. Meteorologists are my friends now.
Can, will, always, until the day I die. I know, right, yeah. You're
the Channel 5 weather team is right on it.
Weather team!
Assemble!
I know, they're all very nice people. When I worked over at WBZ AM, you know, they share the spot with Channel 4 over there as well. Any of them I ever met, incredibly nice. Who was the gentleman who just recently retired who was there forever? Really, really nice guy.
Barry Burbank?
That's the guy.
Yeah.
But, boy, I mean, more often than not.
Wasn't that kind of like us, though? Like, you know, people ask us for sports predictions.
That's true.
More often than not, they're wrong. And I, you know what I say to people? And the same thing goes for meteorologists. And I know that they have models and stuff that they use and all these predictive models. But it's like, if I could accurately predict the future, let's say 90% of the time, do you think I'd waste it on something as trivial as sports?
That's true.
I mean, if they could do it, do you think they'd waste it on the weather? They'd be like,
I don't know, those
Bezos,
you know? Those weather dorks really are into it, though. they are way into it. I don't know how much time you've spent with a meteorologist over at Channel 5, but I'll tell you, they, like, I don't know, sports hacks, like, we mostly have other interests, too, but I feel like the weather people, like, they're really
actually, so I would say that's not true. So some of the more interesting people at 5 are the weather folks. Mike Wonkum, for example, races cars.
For real?
Yeah, and he like...
What's he go up to Loudoun and like...
And he rides a motorcycle. He's like...
He's the badass weatherman?
He's a badass weatherman.
Wow.
He is.
Wonkum. Look out for Wonkum on these streets. That's
he
amazing.
Is. you got to check him out. I don't even know if some of the stuff he's driving is technically street legal.
Oh, that's really funny.
No, he races cars. He has motorcycles. He's a gearhead.
He's a badass.
He
that's
really
amazing.
Is. Yeah.
Well, I know you're a little foggy over there. You forgot all your gear, your laptop, your headphones, everything else.
Yeah.
While you were trying to... you know, log on to one of the company computers. Let me tell you, last night, get in from dinner.
Yes.
Park my ass on the couch. Channel surfing. What do I find on the Vice channel is Lost in Translation. You ever see this movie?
Yeah, that's Scarlett Johansson, right?
Bill Murray, best role. I don't think that's up for debate. A never hotter Scarlett Johansson. They find themselves lonely in Japan. They quickly develop a friendship, which borders on falling in love. Maybe they kind of do. I think the movie shot beautifully, score perfect. Both of them have a air of quiet desperation that I think that most of us can relate with at times. It's a great movie. It's one of my favorites from the prior decade. But I also hadn't seen it since around then. I think I saw it like once or twice around that time. That was about it. And two things stood out to me. One, still holds up. Two, and the reason I'm still thinking about it this morning, is that shockingly, the internet hasn't ruined it. Do you remember how it ends?
So I have to be honest. I've seen bits and pieces of this movie. I've never seen this movie.
Oh, well, and you said, well, you knew it. You haven't seen it. Well, at the end, spoiler alert, Bill Murray whispers something into Scarlett Johansson's ear, and it's done on purpose. Sofia Coppola, the director, wanted to leave it up to the audience to put their personal spin on it. But, of course, that's not good enough for the pain in the asses who need to know what is said. I liked it at the time, but I looked it up last night as it ended. I was like, I bet the internet's ruined this, and they figured out what Bill Murray whispers into to Scarlett Johansson's character's ear. And they haven't. I couldn't believe it. Like, the internet's ruined everything. Society, they spoil movies, The Last of Us 2 before I even get to play it on my PlayStation. But nope, still ambiguous. Internet doesn't know. Suck it, internet. It's a rare win for those of us that don't need to know the answer to everything. I was really pleasantly surprised. After, like, close to 20 years, the stupid internet hasn't figured out how that movie ends, what he whispers into his ear. They've tried. There's actually like this deep dive that people made. You can go find this, go down this rabbit hole of all this audio software that's been used by all these pains in the asses that try to figure out what he says into his to the character's ear. And they feel like they're close, but they don't really know. And that's how it's supposed to end. You don't really know. You put your spin on it. Maybe he says, you've made me feel life for the first time in like 20 years, or I love you. Like, whatever it happens to be. You're not supposed to know. So suck it, Internet. A rare win for those of us that don't need to know everything. But one thing I would like a clear answer on, as we now turn to sports, is Kemba Walker's knee. As we were wrapping up yesterday on Felger and Mazin, I think you were already had left for your usual 4 o'clock hour spot that you do on the show. Celtics now in Orlando, starting to get ready. They had their first practice yesterday, right, in the bubble. Kemba Walker's knee, I told Jimmy Stewart he should probably take a victory lap because he's been saying since the shutdown, it's not right. Because we've all speculated, right? Like, well, one of the things that's going to benefit the Celtics when they do come back, if and when the NBA starts up, is they'll be healthy, right? Because they were dealing with the myriad issues there at the shutdown. And the most concerning was Kemba Walker's knee. Had he missed 4 or 5 games, right?
I know this, that, you know, since February 1st, he missed more games, 9, than he played in 8.
Okay, yeah, that's all right. I knew there was something that was like, it became a concern. But we all figured, the layoff's going to benefit Kemba Walker. He'll be fine. And then what do I read from both Chris Forsberg, and we also have Brian Robb, Boston Sports Journal, who covers the Celtics with us, producing as he usually does. See everyone tweeting the knee's not right. What was the exact quote from Brad Stevens as you had him on a joint Zoom call, B-Rob, last night? It's, we're going to basically take this thing slow with Kemba Walker.
Yeah, ramp him up slowly, pretty much. So
ramp him up slowly. We've had basically 4 months now. And I remember Jimmy Stewart just whispering in our ear. He has his sources. People sometimes don't want to believe him. He's not practicing. The knee is still an issue. The knee's still an issue. I said to Jimmy yesterday, take your victory lap. He's seeing this. Is he going to play? And as these guys are getting settled and you see some of the stuff coming out from their social media accounts, Enes Kanter puts out the crap food that they're eating elsewhere throughout the league. Rajon Rondo had on his Instagram post, I believe it was, or his TikTok or whatever it was, like the room doesn't look up to par for what they're usually used to in the NBA.
He said motel at NBA, Motel 6, huh?
Yeah. I actually didn't think it looked that bad, actually.
Yeah, it didn't look that bad, but also didn't look that good.
But some of the stuff coming out from the Celtics, and some of it, not all of it's like concerning or bad, like with Kemba Walker's knee. I want to get to some of the quotes that Jaylen Brown had to say yesterday, too. That dude's locked in. But Kemba Walker's knee, is this a concern for you that you hear this yesterday?
Are you talking to me or B-Rob?
No, you.
Oh, me. Okay, sorry. I thought you were talking to
either
B-Rob.
Or.
Oh, yeah, it is a concern. And I'll tell you what, I was on one of the Zoom calls with Kemba, and I asked him about the knee, and he basically said it felt a lot better, and he'd had the time off, and you know, it was going to be fine, he thought. And the question, the way I phrased it was, in a compact schedule, do you think you'll be able to make it through? So I don't know if he has more confidence than the Celtics do or if he was just kind of fronting there. I don't know what's up. But the fact that he had basically 4 months off and they get back and Brad Stevens is like, oh, we have to take it slow with Kemba, that's not good. And not only is it not good short term, I don't think it's good long term. Because you know my theory on point guards, on smaller players who are prolific scorers and performers. They have a very small margin for error. And if they physically lose, let's say, 5 or 10% of what they are, then suddenly the guy's not the same player. We've seen it with Isaiah Thomas.
Right.
We've seen it when Kyrie Irving's hurt and tries to play through it. You're not getting the same guy. So this is concerning not only for this year and finishing out this bizarre NBA season, but moving forward with Kemba Walker. And we said this on this show when it came out that he had that Synvisc injection in his knee, that like synthetic cartilage injection, that is not a good thing. That's something like Dustin Pedroia had in his knee. And I'm not saying it's the same situation. Obviously, I'm not a doctor where it's arthritic, but this is not looking good for Kemba Walker.
Yeah, you never feel good when it's any kind of injections, whether it's something like that or PRP injections for any player. Like, you know that there's something else up, or there's a small tear, or they're just trying to handle it before they actually have to go under the knife. So I don't know. Like, you know, I should have probably taken Jimmy a little bit more seriously. I do. You know, when it comes to Celtic stuff, he really is plugged in. Don't know who his source is. He won't give it up. Drives me crazy. But this one, he was right on. You know, he kept saying, like, I don't know. Don't buy into all this time off is going to benefit Kemba Walker. The knee is still an issue. And then you hear this yesterday from the mouth of the head coach.
Yeah.
Sounds like the knee is still an issue. So not great.
And also the Celtics don't have the greatest history when it comes to injuries like this, whether it's Kevin Garnett or Shaquille O'Neal or Isaiah Thomas, they don't have like the greatest history of giving you the clearest picture of said superstar's debilitating injury, which they're really saying is like a nagging injury. And then, again, it turns out to be a debilitating injury.
Well, I always thought one of the things that was great about Kemba Walker, I mean, I think he's a good leader. Like, he's a lot of the anti-Kyrie. It's one of the things I think that was
He's very chill.
Yeah, it was going to make him refreshing, you know, post-Kyrie joining the Celtics. But one of the things I liked about just in terms of his play or, you know, his playing career is that he don't miss time at all. Like, that was the, you know, comparatively speaking to Kyrie Irving, who, you know, I think the most games he's ever played in a season is in the 70s.
Yeah, Kyrie's, you know, he's high maintenance. He's like a high maintenance sports car, and he's a high maintenance guy, which I can relate to myself.
But now, all of a sudden, you know, this knee thing seems like it's going to be an issue. And even in this, you know, the bubble tournament that you're going to have down in Orlando. So that's the bad. The good? Did you see some of the quotes from Jaylen Brown?
Yes.
Yeah, so I thought this was great. Like, the kid just gets it. He really does. So he's shut down his Instagram account. He's as focused can be. And while you have other guys throughout the league and even on his own team, you know, showing you what they're having to, I'm using air quotes here, like, deal with down in Orlando. But it's not what they're used to, and I understand that. I, too, can be a bit of a prickly pear. I know that if I went down to the Orlando bubble and I was given the kind of food that these players are having put in front of them, I wouldn't be that happy. I'd be bitching about it on Twitter. I would send out the photos. You expect me to eat this slop? Go F yourselves. Anyway, Jaylen Brown said, for me, I'm just trying to find a routine to pass the time. I'm not going to be on social media. I deactivated my Instagram account, not because I feel like it's a distraction, but until I get a routine, I want to not pick up bad habits and things like that, just being a video game or et cetera. I feel like we're down here with a purpose. And he is, I feel like, an outlier here, Chris. Now, maybe other guys feel like this, but I haven't heard it throughout the league yet. But I thought this was great to hear because I've already seen, too, not just the food posts and people, you know, like, passive-aggressively bitching about the accommodations. These guys that have brought their gaming rigs down, you know, I think it might have even been Poirier, too, that put up, like, a three-screen, like, he's got this whole big thing. It's like...
Yeah, but he doesn't play. I mean, he really has to pass the time, like...
Yeah, still. Like,
I mean, esports pioneer that you are, I thought you'd appreciate this.
I do not. Okay. Love busting my balls on that.
I do, yes.
He wants to go, Jaylen Brown goes on to say, though, I want to educate myself, spend time doing research, spend time talking to my teammates or other people in the NBA, trying to figure out how we can all come together and use our time to divert our attention to things outside of basketball while we're down here.
Yeah.
We got nothing but time, so I'm just going to try to make myself available to any players that are around, might have questions or anything they want to build off of, and also my teammates as well, and on he goes. But really, like, shows again, the kid's a leader. Like, you can understand why he's one of the reps of the Players Association. Like, man, for a guy that young in that league, dude just gets it. Like, I have such more, I mean, I liked him anyway, but I have such more respect for Jaylen Brown after reading some of these quotes from last night, him being down there, deactivating the Instagram account. And, like, he's focused, he's locked in, and he's also focused and locked in on social justice and things that he wants to see for change in the country. Like, he's just a good dude.
He is. And, you know, he's a smart guy. He has a lot of intellectual curiosity. He spent the year at Cal. He drove the 15 hours down to participate in a protest in Atlanta, his hometown. So he is somebody who obviously has a social conscience. He's someone who's not going to just shut up and dribble. And I think he's one of those guys who feels like, look, this has a dual purpose. You know, we're not just coming down here to distract and entertain people. One, if we're down here from a basketball standpoint, let's make it count. But also, if we're down here and we're being quarantined and we have to play and we're going to have the eyes of the nation on us, then let's make it count from a racial justice standpoint as well. And I don't think that those are competing agendas. I think that you can get both of those things done. And he's right about having nothing but time, you know, sort of make the most of it. And I certainly appreciate that. And I also think, look, yeah, you could be on Instagram, you know, scrolling through Instagram models, but you can't get any of those models into the bubble. So why bother?
Yeah. No, he's got his head in the right place. And did you, from reading any of the quotes, any of the stuff that came out yesterday, and you too, B-Rob, what did you guys glean anything else coming out of the, from, you know, the Celtics camp as they're down there getting settled in Orlando and getting ready to play?
B-Rob?
I think I guess this is not too funny, but so their practice time was cut in half. It's supposed to be 3 hours, and it was only 90 minutes. And Brad Stevens was saying how it wasn't a big deal at first and then mentioned it like 3 or 4 times during his press conference.
So what was that about? Did someone test positive?
That was not clear in terms of why it was. Maybe there was an issue with like the arena they were supposed to be in. But I guess for me, that's just a sign of the times of how things are going to go in Orlando. It's like stuff's going to come up like this. Like,
yeah.
You're going to have to practice time. And for someone, you know, for teams that are, you know, it wasn't a big deal since it was the first day of practice and they were probably not going to do much anyway, but you're going to have to roll off the punches down there. And for, you know, you're not going to have the luxuries of the Auerbach Center to shoot whenever you want, how long as you want for when you have 22 teams down there.
Do both of you feel pretty good about this thing actually, you know, tipping off and then playing through it? Because, you know, when we'll get to baseball, it feels like if there's anyone that any of these sports that are shaky, it's baseball. But basketball, I mean, I know there's been some bitching and some concerns, and obviously the numbers are spiking crazy in Florida, but do you think this thing actually takes place and it's going to be fine?
I think they'll start it. I'm not 100% convinced that they will finish it. It's one of those situations where if you have contamination in the bubble, it's like everyone's going to get it, and it's over at that point. And the other thing that's interesting about it is that I think a lot of these guys are sort of ambivalent about restarting the season. And if you get to a situation where they don't love the accommodations, they don't love the food, and now there's a spike inside the bubble, not Orlando, but inside the NBA bubble, I think you're going to have guys bail. I really do. So I think they'll definitely start it. I hope they can finish it. But I think that if there's any sort of issue from a health standpoint, given all the other sacrifices, and I know people will laugh at that, but sacrifices these guys are making, being away from their families, you know, being basically locked in the hotel rooms, having their freedom of movement restricted, I think at that point people are going to be like in the NBA circle, this isn't worth it because, you know, we're endangering our health and we're in these conditions that we really don't like in the first place.
B-Rub.
Yeah, especially for the bubble teams. I mean, you already saw, like, the Brooklyn Nets is, like, is a total new team.
Yeah, right.
It's true. Michael Beasley, Jamal Crawford. Yeah. I mean, the Wizards shouldn't even be there.
Right.
I mean, Wall's not healthy enough to play.
Bertans
opted out. And then, to me, the moment Bradley Beal said he opted out, I was like, why is this team even going?
Right.
Like now you're just bringing, you know, 50 more people that could contribute to an outbreak or to contamination there. The Wizards shouldn't have been selected in the first place. But the moment that they got to a point where Beal wasn't there, and I know it would have sucked for the NBA to have to adjust the schedule at that point, but if they were really concerned with health and safety, they should have yanked that team out.
No, all right. No question.
Well, if you want to join us here this morning, the number is 617-779-0985. We'll be kind of on all over the place. But, you know, there's things that we're going to talk about when it comes to Cam Newton. You want to talk about Kemba Walker's knee. You have any concerns after what Brad Stevens said yesterday? After all this time off, close to, like, what, 4 months now, shouldn't it be fine? Doesn't sound like it's fine. Your thoughts on that as well. 617-779-0985. It's Gasper and Murray here this morning on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Gasper and Murray. 98.5 The Sports Hub. This is Gasper and Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
You know, when I first thought about getting back to practice and treating it like a training camp, you know, I probably had a different version written out 3 weeks ago than I did once I got our practice schedule. There's some turnaround times that aren't going to be perfect for the idea of, you know, going live back-to-back days. So today we went a little bit. Tomorrow will be on the court maybe longer, but it'll be a lighter session because we turn right back around and go at 9 a.m. And so there will just be some things like that that are, you know, you just have to kind of adjust to. And, you know, we're prepared for that. We've got everything. We've had plenty of time to think about it, Adam. So we're, you know, we're ready to roll and we're able to hit curveballs if we need to, like today when we were a little bit pushed back. No big deal.
No big deal, but I'll just keep mentioning it. Celtics head coach Brad Stevens yesterday. After the Celtics practice, they're down in Orlando getting ready to play in the bubble. The bubble boy. Moops. Moores. All right, Seinfeld reference.
No, that's a great reference.
It's one of the great, great episodes in television history right there.
Moops.
Moores. Moops. Gasper Murray, 98.5 of Sports Hub. So, is now one of these potential issues for the Celtics? I mean, we know what the things that could, you know, trip them up come playoff time, or, you know, being down there and playing in the bubble, it was the same things that were going to be their issues had we not had the shutdown. You know, like lack of size. I think the 76ers, despite their chemistry issues, I think are a bad matchup because of the size. Now you can add the baby factor in regard to Gordon Hayward, and I'm not going to hold that against him. I mean, you know, based on the timing, it's not like
he's having a boy this time, so I know he's like super excited.
Right, yeah. Now he really gets to go, you know, like, I get it. Now you got to go away. Like, you finally hit. No, like, I
do you remember that video of, like, you know, when they did the baby reveal when he had his last daughter? Yes. And just like,
it looked like a, like, oh, Jesus.
He looked like a broken man real quick. And then he realized, oh, this is on video.
And I know that, you know, that irks some people, you know, like, oh, you know, what are your priorities? Like, again, it's a crazy time we're living in. Family should always come first. Go be with your wife when she's having
Absolutely.
Your fourth child. You know,
totally
so,
agree.
But so we know these things. But now is Kemba Walker's knee something else you can add to the pile of potential issues for the Celtics come playoff time? 617-779-0985. Because you also hear from Brad Stevens yesterday, the knee, after all this time off, not right. JP in North Providence, you're first up here this morning on Gasper Murray. Hello.
Murray, Gas, good morning. So good morning. A little problem with the NBA players. You know, the WNBA, they're feeding them Shawshank Redemption dinners. NHL players, that's why I love them, would be up there in Toronto like Jeremiah Johnson, hunting and fishing and trapping their own food if they had to. And there's the NBA, and the first thing is, oh, the food. So, you know, that's why I give it props to the NHL. As far as Kemba's knee, I feel like Lurch with that groan because it's just something waiting to happen. It's just like, when is this going to happen? That's the biggest fear right there.
Yeah, thanks. And I just thought that after all this time, it really wouldn't be that much of an issue, despite the chirping from Jimmy Stewart, that the knee really not right, hadn't been able to play, hadn't been able to practice. It's not like he's been able to get into the facility, what with the shutdown. So not great, not great. The bitching about the food, I'd be right with him. And I know, like, well, you know, do military members do it? No, and I would do that job for free. I'd play sports for free. Like, we know what all the complaints are.
Well, you should see the food, like, anyone who's ever covered the NBA, and B-Rob knows this, you should see the food that they get just in the post-game spread. Like, they'll put it out buffet style, but it's like, oh, here's this, like, Ruth's Chris food that we have in the like, it's not like sandwiches and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, they're even post-game, like, in the locker room, the food is really good. It's like a great steakhouse you would go to, and the steakhouse just delivers it to the locker room, and they put it out in the chafing dishes. You know, so these guys are used to pretty good food.
And I will tell you, and Chris will as well, because I think he is one and the same. It's one of the reasons we get along. We're kind of like pampered princesses, you know?
That's true.
When you're used to a certain level, and then you go down there, and you're given essentially the equivalent of a Lunchable, you're going to be kind of pissed. It really was. That post from Enes Kanter, it's like, okay, you know, the complaining, like, I'll be able to deal with X amount of. But then I saw Kanter's post. It's like, oh, I'd be mad. Like these little stupid, like, cheese squares and grapes. Yeah, crackers. Like, come on. You got to give me,
like,
a real meal.
You know what it looks like? It looks like elementary school cafeteria food. That's what it looks like. It's like, oh, it's that government mass-produced square pizza again.
Elio's pizza. Yeah. Like, knockoff Elio's pizza.
Yeah,
exactly what it is. Do you have any concerns about Kemba Walker's knee? Is that now something to throw on the concern pile, if you will, for potential issues for the Celtics come playoff time? 617-779-0985. We were in a little late in that first segment, so we got to bounce here. Back after this, though, we'll get to the Major League Baseball return, which seemingly is falling apart by the day, because now you have big names opting out there. We'll get to that next on Gasper and Murray.
Gasper and Murray. Gasper and Murray. Gasper and Murray. Gasper and Murray. On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
With the chemistry.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Little NXS to start your morning here on Gasper Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
NXS, I totally forgot about them. Oh, I remember them.
You know how Michael Hutchins died?
What?
Oh, you don't know this?
No.
Oh, yeah. He was a victim of, well, his own hand, I guess is probably the kindest way to put it. Yeah, autoerotic asphyxiation, one of those, like David Carradine.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah, that was a handsome man, too. Boy. You know, you think that's a guy like I put in with Anthony Bourdain, Chris Cornell, that like has it all, right? Like, especially Anthony Bourdain, too. Like a guy that has like this, you would think on the surface, this perfect life, this unbelievable job, all these stories, handsome, accomplished, like, and offs himself. Like, oh boy. It's like, here, geez, you think someone that has it all that put together on the surface and they can't figure it out? Ew. What's that mean for the rest of us? Michael Hutchins, another one of those, too. But, yeah. Oh, I'm surprised you didn't know that.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no. Autoerotic asphyxiation.
Jeez.
When taking care of yourself, you need a little extra, and you unfortunately go over the line, and it ends up taking your own life.
Like, boy, what an embarrassing way to go.
Yeah. Yeah. It's again, like,
it's kind of humiliating.
Truly, yeah. I mean, I guess, you know, thankfully, you know, in a sick way, you're not around to be found. Like,
but it's one thing. I mean, I could see it's like one thing, you know, if you're with a professional who you're paying to do that to you. And that's, you know, you're into some people, different people are into different things, and it goes awry.
Yeah.
But when it's just like you, I mean, and you're famous, like, that's just kind of
right.
Sad.
And you were thinking, yeah, Michael Hutchins could just walk outside and nod, you know,
yeah,
and find someone. It's a guy that had, you know, Kylie Minogue in her prime, myriad 90s supermodels. But no, he just decided, you know what I need to do? Take care of myself with a belt around my neck.
Oops.
It went too far, and now I'm dead.
Oops.
Yeah. That's a real weird one. Anyway, 617-779-0985, the phone number if you'd like to join the show. Baseball. Yeah, so things obviously problematic for any of these sports trying to get back. And we'll get to some of the stuff that's coming up from the NFL. But baseball, I feel like if there's any of the four majors that aren't going to end up completing their fake seasons or their COVID seasons, if you want to be kinder about it, it's baseball. Because now you are having, you know, big names tap out of this. You know, throughout the NBA, like, okay, Bradley Beal, big name.
Big name.
Yeah, but were those teams, like, realistically, the Wizards, the Pacers, are they really going to make kind of any noise come postseason there, like, in the NBA? No, I don't think so. Major League Baseball, though, like, so, you know, over the weekend, Chris David Price taps out, and, you know, David Price, I'm certainly not that big of a fan of. Do the voice, dance for me. Like, immediately on Twitter, like, can you believe this? Get on him. Can't wait to hear you guys on Monday. Do the voice, dance for us, Jim. And it's like, even though I think David Price is a pill, even him I'm not going to get on. Like,
no.
Young kids at home. I think the mother-in-law still lives there, right? At least based on, you know, when he was living here. Like, I live with my mother-in-law. Like, that's why he's always playing video games. You don't want to bring COVID home if you get it. So I get any of the concerns. Or anyone that just is uncomfortable with this and looks at it as a fake season, or it's going to be a tainted title, whatever it happens to be, any of these guys in their respective sports, they want to tap out. I get it. I respect it. I'm not going to get on them too much. But it does seem like it's becoming problematic in Major League Baseball because it's not just, the Mike Leakes of the world, and,
sure,
you know, like third and fourth starters that are tapping out. It's David Price. It's Buster Posey, you hear yesterday, who's the face of the San Francisco Giants. Michael Kopech of the Chicago White Sox. It just feels like we're trending towards baseball. Even if it does start, it's not going to finish.
They're in a tough spot. There's no question about it. And today, just to add to that, the Houston Astros canceled a workout today.
Yeah.
This happened today, and they released a statement about that, saying, as part of MLB's testing and reporting plan, we were alerted that a staff member was potentially exposed to a COVID-positive individual outside the organization. Out of an abundance of caution, we have canceled today's workout. That's a statement from Astros general manager James Click. And you're seeing this happen. I mean, just look here with the Red Sox. Eduardo Rodriguez tested positive. He's still in Miami. They don't know if he's going to be able to start. It's a 60-game season. Every game counts. I don't know if they're going to be able to finish this thing, but I will say this. It's going to be really interesting in this regard. Who do you think has a better chance of finishing? MLB, which is basically saying no bubble. We're going to be in the individual cities. We're going to travel around the country, even though it's matchups by division. You're playing your division opponents, and then you're playing the corresponding division in the other league, or the NBA with the bubble. I kind of think at this point, given the way COVID's going and what's happening in Florida, that MLB actually has a better chance of finishing than the NBA. But I don't know. You might feel differently.
Yeah, I just feel like baseball, with the way that it even started last week when these teams showed up for their de facto spring training, where certain teams like the A's, Angels, like,
yeah,
couldn't get tests, or they got tested and couldn't get the results within days. It just feels like it's kind of a cluster. And I mentioned to you yesterday, too, if I'm one of these players, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility to feel like there's some sort of conspiracy afoot here, because you had some of these owners that didn't want this thing to take place in the first place, and a handful of them. So if I look around and I'm like, wait a minute, I can't get tested when I've been told this was going to be thorough testing, this was going to be an issue. It certainly shouldn't be. I actually believe, and I know it offends some people, but like in the hierarchy of, you know, baseball players, professional athletes, they're far more important than me. So they should have access to testing easier than I should. I believe that. Like, there's a hierarchy. It should be that way. I think so. Based on the money that those franchises make and what their companies are making. So that it was like that. If I was a player, I'd show up and be like, well, wait a minute. Some of these guys didn't want this to happen in the first place. Like, this is, they don't want this to happen. This is screwed up.
So you're saying the owners want the thing to fall apart.
Yeah.
They want to say they tried. Oh, we tried. We couldn't play.
I think that some
But it was the Players Association that said they didn't want to go in the bubble, Jim. That they wanted to do it this way in terms of, hey, we want to be in our home cities.
Yeah, I just feel like if there's an outbreak with a team, it has to get shut down, or you're seeing what's going on in
MLS. Two teams are out of that tournament.
I think, it's no disrespect to the Revs and MLS, because I know they have their fans, and, you know, they're certainly passionate in certain areas like Portland and Kansas City. Like, but if some of these teams are going to drop out in Major League Baseball, and while I'm not the biggest baseball fan anymore, it's still MLB. It matters in this country. It's one of the four major big sports in the country.
Sports leagues, yeah.
Yeah. If you have a couple of teams have to tap out because of mass outbreaks, like, that's just going to – they're not going to be able to
get this thing done. No, I mean, that's crippling. And, again, they've already had some issues so far as we start up here. But I know they released the statement yesterday. I mean, overall, with the intake testing that they've done, I think it's more than 11,000 tests. I think it came back to something like 80-something players. So I know we make a big deal out of every positive test, but still, in the grand scheme of things – the testing numbers, I think, are still in MLB's favor.
So you were over there for the first inter-squad scrimmage on Thursday, right? So what was the vibe overall? And did you talk to any of the brass, Sam Kennedy, anyone like that? Like, I know they have to put a happy face on this and do the old Red Sox, like, you know, everything's up on the up and up, and here's a smile. You know,
the old Red Sox shuffle.
Yeah, but did you get the vibe that, you know, the players are into it, or are they half-assing it? Like, I don't know. Like, you hear earlier in the week that Rafael Devers was having to practice over at, what was it, BC?
BC.
Because he might have showed up a little out of shape. I don't know. They seem dedicated.
They do seem dedicated. The players seem dedicated. They definitely like being in the suites for their clubhouse, for the locker room. It's two players to a luxury suite. They've talked about that. Nathan Eovaldi praised the Red Sox organization for what they've done. He said, you know, we have everything we need. We have masks. We have wipes, we have spray, you know, they've been really good with that stuff. I think the Red Sox have done about as well as any organization in MLB so far in this. In terms of the actual game, you know, it was just weird. It's weird to see Fenway without fans. It's just, it feels different. It was eerily quiet. There's an emptiness to not only the stadium, but to what's happening on the field. It just doesn't. It almost feels like you're playing a baseball game in a vacuum, or you know, sort of, you know, for the comic book fans out there, on an astral plane, you know, with Professor X. That's kind of what it feels like. It's just, you're just completely isolated. Also, the way they played the scrimmage, the rules were pretty loose. At one point, JD Martinez batted in back-to-back half innings for both teams, not wearing a jersey with a number on it. And he got rung up twice by Jason Varitek. That was actually the most entertaining thing. Jason Varitek, as the umpire, rang up J.D. Martinez twice looking, and J.D. Martinez didn't care for it either time.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
And I know they've been screwing around with, like, pumping in fake crowd noise.
So they did that yesterday. Sam Kennedy was down there, and they were trying to figure out what noise they're going to pump in. I don't know if you saw it on Twitter. Martinez hit a home run, and they played the crowd noise after that and all that stuff. I think they're going to do that. Some of the players had commented on Thursday that it was just a little bizarre without the crowd noise. They're also saying that they don't want the other team to be able to hear interactions. And also, Renicky basically was saying, like, he doesn't want his own players to hear. You know, you don't want to be in the dugout and be like, oh, God, pick up the pace. Your guy on the mound can hear that. I don't know. I mean, I think they'll pump in the crowd noise. But I think I haven't seen football without fans, but my initial inclination is that no sport needs the fans, just that ambient noise, that background noise, more than baseball, because there's too many interludes there where there's no action. And if you take the fans and that buzz in the stadium out, God, is it boring.
Yeah, I would think of all the sports, that's the one that's going to need it the most. I mean, I know there's people that are anti-fake crowd noise, and I understand that, but just to keep those guys' heads in the game, I think that MLB players will just need it. So, you know, just you know, it's like the force of habit of hearing that kind of buzz in the background. Like, otherwise, buzz. You're going to realize, like, look around, and be like, oh, my God, this is what I've been doing with my life. Like, this
is so- I mean, it's though the downtime in baseball is really amplified and magnified when you take the fans, when there's no, like, buzz in the ballpark or no reaction to a double.
Yeah.
It's just, it feels really, like, antiseptic. And baseball has an issue with pace of play as it is. And as I mentioned yesterday on Felger and Maz, there was one reliever who came on for the Red Sox. I'm not going to name the reliever, but he came on for the Red Sox in the scrimmage game, and it was like, dude, this is just a scrimmage. Like, please pick up the pace. I really think MLB missed a huge opportunity here. I know they brought in they're implementing the rule in extra innings where innings will start
on second base.
Correct. I think that they should have implemented a lot of the rules to speed up the game. I think they missed a real opportunity here to impose those rules, because it's like, dude, if there's going to be no fans out there and you're going to have guys dilly-dallying on the mound, and there was somebody, like even Martinez, like was sort of stepping out of the box and stepping back in, and I'm like, oh, God, like just go.
For a scrimmage.
You're like,
Jesus.
Go. Like, come on. So all that stuff, as I said, really gets all the little time wasting and the little ticks in baseball really gets magnified when there's no fans there.
All right, coming up, we'll get to Cam Newton, the latest there. I feel like the Patriots made quite the signal to the Patriots fan base and anyone that thinks that there's going to be a quarterback competition this week with the hype video that they put out after they officially announced the signing of Cam Newton. We'll get to that. And also, Chris Gasper apparently pissed off the Rex Burkhead stands. They actually exist. We'll get to that coming up here in Gasper Murray, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Stay tuned for more Gasper and Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub. This is Gasper and Murray.
You will listen.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Gasper Murray, 98.5 The Sports Hub. So, it's not worth playing. You've all seen it at this point. Midweek, it was officially announced, Patriots social media account saying, like, hey, we've announced that we have officially signed Cam Newton, one-year deal. He's also going to be wearing the number one like he did with the Carolina Panthers. Suck it, Patriots mascot. You don't get to wear that anymore.
I didn't even think of that.
Right. Right. Has there been any other number ones, at least in our lifetimes, with the Patriots?
Yes, Tony Franklin. Oh. Remember Tony Franklin?
Yeah, okay. All right. Kicker. There it is. Okay.
John Smith wore it too. I didn't remember the John Smith one. I was a little young then. Tony Franklin, I remembered off the top of my head.
Okay.
Mike Reese tweeted out, there's been like three guys that have worn it.
Well, that was followed, that announcement, with the produced piece of the announcements that you heard from the big talking heads. When then you have Will Smith as a young Fresh Prince and Andy from Parks and Recreation with like the faces and like big eye emojis and Cam Newton the Superman thing, and it's like Cam Newton is here, everybody. But really what it was yelling at everyone was Cam Newton's the starting quarterback, you idiots. Like, so no more, well, there could be a quarterback competition and Jarrett Stidham's going to be pushed here. It's like, okay, it's okay to admit, guys, that I fell into it too. It's okay. Yeah, I don't know why in 2020 people, you just can't admit that you're wrong sometimes. It's okay. I think you learn and grow as a person when you fail and make mistakes and you
Agreed.
Admit your mistakes and you admit your failures. It's the only way you can grow as a human being, you young morons. It's not millennials anymore. It's this Zoomers, Generation Z.
Oh, is that what it is?
Oh, God.
I have a hard, as you know, I have a hard time keeping track of the generations. And I know Gen X, that's you. I'm a Zennial.
Yeah.
I know the millennials. And then isn't there a Y in there somewhere?
Maybe that's between Z and the Zoomers and the Y. I don't know.
I know, it's confusing, right?
Yeah. It is kind of confusing.
Yeah.
Us Gen Xers, Chris. There's no such thing as Zennial.
The Zennial thing does exist because you are a true Gen Xer, because you are that cynical and pessimistic about life.
Right.
And I'm like 70% of that cynical.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's why we're different generations.
You're definitely not as miserable as me.
No, definitely not.
True.
That is true. You have that like perpetual Gen X anger and angst.
It's just, I'm like, so here's an old reference. I'm like Ziggy, who was always followed by the cloud.
Yes.
That's me.
Yes.
Or Eeyore, if you will.
Yes.
Well, why bother? Like that's really yours truly. That must be a delight to deal with for my poor wife. The Cam Newton video comes out, and so I think it's okay to admit, because I fell into it too, like this narrative that has been forced down our throats by many of the beat reporters, who I think are getting it directly from the team. Jarrett Stidham's the guy. He's the heir apparent. Oh, my God, I've never seen a young quarterback look this good in camp before, even better than Garoppolo. Stidham, he looks the part, he talks the part. Oh, my God, Stidham. And then, lo and behold, they sign Cam Newton. So, to me, that immediately signified, those of you that were reporting that over the last year, you got fed tripe, and it was a lie. So, it's okay, because I bought into it, too, because going into the offseason, they didn't sign any of these big-name quarterbacks that were available, be it Cam Newton, Andy Dalton, whoever, Jameis Winston, Teddy Bridgewater. They're going with the in-house fourth-round pick and suck back Brian Hoyer to maybe back him up. And then they go and sign Cam Newton. No, you don't sign Cam Newton to have him compete. You don't sign Cam Newton to have him be a backup. I wouldn't do it if I was Cam Newton. I know
Cam Newton's not a backup.
Last couple of years, injury riddled. He, even I was like, well, he's a shell of himself. But if he can be what he was in 2017, prior to these injuries, and I get the concerns about the shoulder and the Lisfranc thing, but the shoulder more than anything else. But if he can get back to close to what he was just 3 years ago, it's not even a question. There's not going to be a competition. That's just a false narrative. Cam Newton's your quarterback. This video, to me, also screams to everyone, Cam Newton is your quarterback. I don't know how you could think otherwise, Chris.
Yeah, I mean, I just think when you look at it, and look, I spoke to somebody, you know, associated with the team who the way it was portrayed to me was this. Cam Newton's coming here. He'll be the starter. Bill's going to spout what he's going to spout about there being a competition. But the reality is, like, Cam Newton's the guy. He's the presumptive starter. If something happens, Cam Newton gets hurt, Cam Newton can't pick up the offense, Stidham looks amazing, then yeah, sure, they'll adjust. They'll adjust and say it was plan A all along, you know, or that we never committed to Newton. But they've made a commitment here to Cam Newton as the quarterback. That's the reality of it for 2020. Now, again, circumstances can change, but the plan is for Cam Newton to be the starting quarterback. And I think if it works out well for them, what happens here, and this is where it can be a win-win-win, and that includes Stidham, Jim. It's a win for Cam Newton. He gets to play for Bill Belichick, the most brilliant coach in football, and Josh McDaniels, one of the best offensive coordinators. He gets to prove he's healthy, gets to be in a winning team and a winning environment, and he'll learn football. He'll improve. He can prove that there's a second act for Cam Newton. For Belichick, he gets to bring in a veteran quarterback that allows a win-now roster to capitalize on its talent and capitalize on a very good defense, and they can still contend for a championship. And for Stidham, and this is what was relayed to me as well, it buys him more time to develop. This was not an ideal offseason for a young quarterback going from year one to year two. He didn't have the benefit of being out on the field. He didn't have the benefit of the offseason program. These are things that a young quarterback needs in his development. So this buys Stidham more time to develop before the Patriots have to make a decision and make a call as to whether he is the successor to Tom Brady long term. It is a win-win-win scenario for everybody involved.
So it's more about development. It's not, you know, Stidham maybe hasn't been practicing as much. It's not him going to Texas to, you know, go on a wedding circuit or anything like that. It's not, you don't think that there's something that Jared Stidham did that pissed Bill and company off that led them to go.
I mean, I wouldn't rule it out, but again, the way it was explained to me was that Bill's always like Cam Newton. Remember what Cam Newton's numbers are. His numbers are like ridiculous against the Patriots. I know it's only two games, but it's 6 touchdowns, 1 pick, completing 70-something% of his passes.
I mean, that last game, 2017, he was making Stiffs look good. That was the Fozzie Whitaker game.
Yes.
Like, yeah.
I mean, he's played, and that always sticks in Bill's mind. We know that. Guys that play well. Two things that stick in Bill's mind from a personnel standpoint. One, what happened in the last game of the season for the Patriots, win or lose, always sticks in his mind. How did they win? How did they lose? What were the difficulties there? That always, you know, registers. The other thing is somebody who plays really well against them. Wes Welker was one of those guys. Guys who play well against him, Chad Ochocinco, that sticks in his brain. Newton's one of those guys. But the way it was explained to me was Cam Newton and Bill Belichick were in contact repeatedly throughout the offseason. The lines of communication were kept open there. And what it really came down to at the end was Newton acknowledging that there wasn't a better offer out there for him. There was no multi-year offer. There was no obvious place to go where he could start. And so with that being the case, you know, and being a month away from training camp, he said the best situation for me is the Patriots, even if it's a crap deal, if it's a deal on Bill's terms.
Let's go to Elliot in Boston. Been hanging, want to talk about Cam Newton. You're up here on Casper Murray. Hello, Elliot.
Morning, guys. And thinking about Cam Newton, I think everyone assumes that this is going to be a one-night stand for this year, and that if everything goes well, hypothetically, Newton plays well in our system, goes out and gets a payday next year. But let's say Stidham is not the guy next year. Will we look at this organization negatively if Cam Newton plays well, we let him go, he plays well for somebody else, and Stidham is still not the guy?
Oh, yeah. I don't think you could think about it any other way. If he has an awesome season, they don't utilize the franchise tag, which they could, and he goes somewhere else and he continues to be awesome, because it's not like he's late 30s. He'll be 32 in 2021, right? So if that happens and then Stidham is your starter and he goes out and still looks like, well, a rookie, and it's just kind of a mess, yeah, people would be pissed, and rightfully so. Then again, it's Belichick, and they'll probably be like, well, they're coming along, and now they're going to tank and try to get another quarterback. Like, the guy can't lose.
He can't lose. And it's funny you say that, because I was going to say, you know, the Adam Schefter thing. Remember that Schefter thing we played where basically he was like, well, they really like Stidham, and, you know.
Yeah, just like a week ago.
They're going to go with him. But, you know, if it doesn't work out, that's also, like, the plan. It's like, no matter how it works out, that's always the plan. It was always the original plan.
617-779-0985 is the phone number. You want to join us as we get into hour number two of Casper Murray here. Like I said, Chris apparently pissed off the Rex Burkhead fan base. That's a lot of stands for Rex Burkhead, as it turns out. We'll get into that after the Sports Hub headlines here on 98.5 Sports Hub.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Mike Palmer, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at Boston Scores.org/Noah.